This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Max Kellerman Show. I am Max Kellerman, and this show can be heard on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Boy, I gotta tell you, I was having makeshift cardboard boxes and, you know, shoe boxes and stuff, balancing radio equipment. I went out and I got a new desk, like a table, one of these, L-shaped tables. What a difference. I have a place to put my legs. This is amazing. Presented by Progressive Insurance is the Max Kellerman Show. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. I was in a panic when the show started because I have this little, my computer screen, I'm on Zoom, and Raj, the producer, go ahead, Raj, you can show them your glamour shot that you thought was a good idea for this show.
How are you going to snitch on me 2 minutes into the show? You can't call the 1-800-SNITCH hotline this early. You've got to wait till at least 5 minutes after.
First of all, you didn't ring the bell. And second of all, there he is. Second of all, because right as the show is starting, you put something on the screen where I couldn't read what I was supposed to read. You got it off in the nick of time. I almost had a heart attack.
And then the nice computer soundbite that we were looking for, because you were snitching before the show on the soundbite that Chris and I liked. So we're looking for a new soundbite.
Well done. You're talking, and then you do the doorbell. Yeah. That works. Listen, let me just before we get to all these shenanigans, the first thing I got to do here is tell you about Straight Talk, because it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Clips and Mavs. I told you before this series the Mavs could upset the Clips. I told you during the series the Mavs could go all the way. They can't do it without Porzingis. And now they're in a 3-2 hole against a team that is better than them. I mean, the Mavs were my sleeper pick, but the Clippers were my actual pick from before the season. The reason I even have a sleeper pick is because when you do TV and radio, they ask, okay, who's your sleeper pick? Because you have to do a segment about that. So, okay, thought about the Mavs. Porzingis and Doncic. But if without Porzingis, they ain't going to win. By the way, you know why the Clips hung 152 points on him? 154 points? No Porzingis. Whatever you want to say about his pick-and-roll defense, and they talked about it on the broadcast, they've talked about it, Porzingis' presence on the floor completely changes the offense of the other team. Even if you think you're going to exploit him in the pick and roll, it changes what you do. But when Porzingis is on the floor, no one's dropping to 154 in a playoff game on the Mavs. But he wasn't. And Doncic is, you know, and look, he did not have a great game yesterday. And he's been carrying a lot of the load, but he had a bad game by his standards. Kawhi just did his normal thing, 30-plus points, played defense, all that stuff. And the real difference in the game was Paul George. These playoffs so far have largely been about whose second banana, whose Robin is going to show up. Chris Middleton, you're going to show up? Oh, good, he got hot late in the game. Not that the Bucks needed it, but that starts to give you, make you a little... more hopeful if you're a Bucks fan for the second round against the Heat. Porzingis, literally, if he shows up, if he's playing, he's going to show up. But is he going to be out on the floor? When he is, the Mavs have been better than the Clippers. This series with Porzingis on the floor, Mavs have been better than the Clippers. Without him, if they don't have this, you know, Doncic doesn't have a second banana, that's it. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George showed up yesterday. They had a great game. You go on and on. I'm missing another. Oh, listen. James Harden. No Russell Westbrook. It's tough for them without Russell Westbrook. So when the second banana either doesn't perform or physically doesn't play because he can't because of an injury, that's kind of been the theme of these playoffs. Here's Paul George after the win, answering the question why he struggled so much in games 2, 3, and 4.
It was just a little bit of everything. Underestimated mental health, honestly. I had anxiety, a little bit of depression. Just being locked in here, I just wasn't there. I checked out. games 2, 3, 4, I wasn't there. I felt like I wasn't there.
I'm sorry, someone got... Is Paul George still talking? Because I couldn't hear. Chris, that was a great job of timing. You got in my ear right at the perfect moment, so I could not possibly know if Paul George had finished talking. You know what the damning thing about what he said is? And let me start by saying, I'll echo what every responsible adult will say about Paul George. It's great that he didn't feel ashamed of the fact that he was depressed or anxious, that he talked about it publicly, that he acknowledged it. I mean, we like to think of all the killers, Michael Jordan or whomever, Mariano Rivera or Muhammad Ali or whoever's like the baddest dude under pressure. They didn't feel the anxiety. Stop it. Everyone feels anxiety at times. Everyone's human. There are times where your confidence is higher than others. It's okay to give everyone a peek behind the curtain, as Paul George did. Yes, he should be commended for that, and he has been, roundly. But I got to say something about that. He was not asked, were you anxious or depressed about being in the bubble? You know, listen, you're away from your family, from normal activities. People just feel that way about COVID because it's because of the social distancing and the isolation and the change in daily routine. There have been, you know, people have published about how people have like special quarantine or shelter in place dreams, right? Since the pandemic, people are dreaming differently. People like it's affected people's emotional and mental health and well-being, and at least, you know, frame of mind. So good for Paul George for admitting it. But he was not asked about that. He was asked about his struggles, and he blamed it on that. He pointed to that. He said it's a lot of things, really. And they said, look, to be honest, he switched from having a vague kind of general answer to being specific. I've been depressed and I've had anxiety in the bubble, and it affected my play. So good for him for saying it. But maybe I forget that, full stop. And good for him for saying it. And since he's the one who's pointing to it as an explanation for his poor games 2, 3, and 4, it also suggests that since he came out of it and had a great game yesterday, last night, it suggests that he believes he's turned some corner, that he's now dealing with it better. And a lot of time with mental health issues, much of the struggle, like half of it, is just becoming aware of it. My dad's a shrink, so I could tell you, know, like, making it go from the kind of unconscious to the conscious is half the struggle, right? Good for him. But now suggesting that since he's aware of it and confronting it, dealing with it, he was able to have a good game, it's not that it takes it completely off the table as an excuse for poor performances, but it mitigates that kind of excuse a bit, doesn't it? And by excuse, I don't mean it's not a legitimate explanation. It is. It can be a legitimate explanation, but people's kind of threshold for accepting it as a reason for why he doesn't perform well is going to be much lower now. Like, well, hold up, Paul George. You said you were aware of it, and you showed the ability to play through it and have a great game. So at a certain point, people will be like, well, whatever your frame of mind is, it's not the first time we've seen you, not just in this season, not live up to your normal standards when it matters most. Paul George is a great player, great two-way player. One of the arguments I used to have with people when I was doing radio in L.A., we're in L.A. now, the Max Kellerman Show, but when Max and Marcellus was an afternoon drive back in the day, was I tell people Paul George better than Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo was at the height of his powers, more or less, and a better scorer than Paul George. But Paul George was as good a defender as he was a scorer, and he was almost as good a scorer as Carmelo, it seemed. Not maybe as polished in all facets of scoring, but could certainly fill it up. So I've been a big Paul George fan for a long time, and I'm rooting for him in this playoff series. And it'd be a great story if, hey, here's a guy who was dealing with an emotional issue of you know, of the isolation and in the bubble, and he was dealing with depression and anxiety, and he confronted it, and he struggled with it, and he came out of it and had success, or even had success in the face of it. That'd be a great story. And it'd just be great for Paul George to play well in these playoffs anyway. Get that monkey off his back because he has a deserved bit of a reputation there. Not like an all-time choker, but we all know Paul George in the playoffs, not quite the guy he is in other circumstances. So it'd be a great story, but I'm saying by singling that out, when he was asked about his play, his good play as opposed to his bad play, and saying I was feeling depression and anxiety about the bubble, now people don't want to hear that as an excuse for poor play anymore or as an explanation for it. In other words, Paul George just put a lot of pressure on himself. That was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. And meantime, I'd like to welcome in on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line my guest for today, the great Coach Fizdale, ladies and gentlemen. Coach, you there?
I'm here, brother. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you? Where are you? Hold on. Listen, you don't have to answer this question, but I have a little intel. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
But full disclosure, I'm at my my wife's doctor. She's about to get some pictures taken of the new baby. So
now you're talking. Hey, Mazel Tov, Coach. And how do you explain that you're going to step off to do a radio interview? Do you get flack for that behind the scenes? Like, or does she just know this is part of the business?
Not only did I get a look, but I'm going to get a smack. I'm sure of it after this is done. So just know that I'm risking a lot for you.
Coach, I really appreciate it. And let me just say, this is the kind of coach that you want coaching your team. I want everyone to understand this. And I'm sure you have a beautiful family, Coach. But a lot of times if I see a coach and they're paying too much attention to the family, especially I think this applies to football more than basketball, I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. You can't have a perfectly functional family and be a great football coach. Why aren't you at the facility? I want to see the dysfunctional family. That's the football coach I want. They're not paying any attention to the family. I know that's not you, but I appreciate you coming on anyway, Coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What is your feeling about – I just was talking about Paul George when asked about his struggles in games 2, 3, and 4. He points out depression and anxiety because of the bubble. To me, that's putting a lot of pressure on himself now because he's saying, hey, I've confronted that now, and he had a great game. And now people aren't going to want to hear that as an explanation anymore. What's your feeling about Paul George doing that, you know, being honest, but also applying that kind of pressure to himself?
Well, I think it's two-pronged. I think, I respect the fact that he was willing to be open about it. You know, as I was saying this earlier, it's very difficult for African-American men to admit when they're having some type of mental issue. Whether it's anxiety or depression or anything like that, because it's always the stigma in the culture of weakness. And, you know, for him to be able to step up when he's on the biggest stage and to be able to acknowledge that and that he's dealing with it and addressing it, I think is courageous. On the other hand, knowing how people react to stuff, I do think that it will, get some backlash if he has another bad game or if he has a string of bad games, which I don't expect. I actually think this game is going to catapult him into a rhythm. But I do see people, how people can be definitely throwing it in his face if he has a couple more bad games.
It's interesting that you mentioned for African-American men, because I think of that as a male issue, period. You know, men want to feel like, but you say, especially for African-American men, have you noticed a difference in Africa? You think that there's a cultural emphasis on not admitting any kind of weakness?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just how I grew up and how all of my friends grew up. It's just something ingrained, that's been put into our culture, whereas, you don't talk about, things that can be perceived as weakness or, we always like stuff like PTSD. When we were growing up, he was just our crazy uncle. Right. But knowing what I know now,
came back from Vietnam and had PTSD, right?
And so we never wanted to really, as a community, I don't think that we've really really embraced the fact that this is a real thing and people really go through these things, and it's getting better. I think with people coming out talking about it more and addressing it more, I think you're starting to see our community get more open to it, you know, because people go through real problems. People are having real issues, especially now with everything that's going on. And so, you know, that's why I say I commend them for having the courage to even to say that, because it's not easy to say, just as on from a blanket statement, it's not easy to say whether you're black, white, male, woman, don't matter. But I just know as an African-American man, it's a very difficult topic, you know, and so I commend him for that.
Meantime, he had a great game. The Clippers put a buck 54 on him, but that's without Porzingis. Coach, when Porzingis has been playing, if anyone's gotten the better of anyone, it's the Mavs gotten the better of the Clippers when Porzingis has been on the floor. Now, I like the Clippers preseason to win the whole thing, and I still do. I haven't gotten off that, but the Mavs were my sleeper pick. And I get the feeling like if Porzingis is healthy, I don't think they can win the series anymore down 3-2. I think the Clippers are a better team, and they have a game up on them now. But when Porzingis is healthy, Coach, if he can stay healthy, this Mavericks team going forward is going to be a problem.
Oh, they're electric. You know, you're talking about two of the most unique talents in the NBA, and him and Luka Doncic, and just perfect fit and combination to play off of each other. And, you know, I'm with you. I had the Clippers, you know, I had the Clippers winning it. But I've always said that the Dallas team scares me the most. Mm-hmm. They present the most issues. They have super talents on their team. They got matchup problems all over the place. And their role players do a great job. Tim Hardaway Jr. is playing great for them.
Great.
Trey Burke is doing a great job for them. Yeah. Finney Smith. All of these guys really understand their role. Yeah, and they really understand their role. Rick does a good job of putting them in position to be successful. And let's just be honest. What we're seeing, Luka Doncic is so serious and so real. You know, we're watching a historic thing with this kid. He's going to be one of the great players that's played in this league.
You know, there's something about him when he plays. When you watched Magic and Bird play, I mean, the reason we still remember Magic and Bird is the same reason I think people will remember LeBron, because there's and by the way, there are others who didn't score the same way, like Jason Kidd or someone like that. But I'm talking about the guys who could do everything. But also, when you watched them, you felt like you were watching genius, not just like Michael Jordan didn't give you this. Michael Jordan was like from another planet. But when Magic and Bird and LeBron play, the way they see the game makes you think you're watching genius. Luka reminds me of that. The way he sees the game, you feel like you're watching a genius.
He's so surgical with the way that he, you know, kind of combs through the steps of the game and how he sees things, you know, three and four steps ahead. And you said it like this. Jay Kidd is one of my all-time favorites and just, you know, obviously one of the all-time great guards in this league. But Luka has that element of scoring that I don't think Jay Kidd had. You know, from the standpoint of scoring, from a ball handling standpoint, Jay Kidd could put the ball in the hole, but Luka really can score the basketball. And you know, they're with a guy like Luka, you always feel like you got a chance to win. You know, because he's going to make the right play and make the right decision, and he's so unselfish, he's so big. You know, I just really really enjoy watching the play. You know, there's certain guys you say you'll pay to see play. He's a guy I would really pay to go watch play basketball.
Meantime, the Clippers really don't have a guy like that. Like when I watch, and I'm going to get into this later in the show, but when I watch Kawhi, I think one of the reasons people don't want to say he's the best player in the game, which I think he is the same reason once upon a time, you know, it was Bird or Magic. But meantime, like Moses Malone would step in and win an MVP. But what he did wasn't like genius and spectacular. What he did was more workaday, but he did it better than anyone. Kawhi just quietly gives you 35, like 9 and 7, stuff like that. And his team wins, and he locks down on defense. But I feel like, in a way, Coach, he doesn't get enough credit. Like, it's always, well, he was in the right situation, or he had the right supporting cast. Meantime, he's the best player on the team, and he's on the team that most people think is going to win a championship.
But look, he can't help the situation that he's in. He just, all he can do is impact it from the standpoint of winning and losing. And every time he's put in a situation, he seems to win. So, you know, I think a lot of it is he doesn't want the hoopla. He's not into all of the noise. He's not one of those personalities. Like, Luka's got this personality, and he's social, and you know, Kawhi is just quiet and he just goes about his business, chopping that tree down. And think about the series he's having right now. I mean, it is he is dominating.
Right, and so you don't even notice it.
You don't even notice it because it's so efficient. It's so unsung, and you know, and obviously Luka's having such a great series that it kind of overshadows it. Mm-hmm. But Kawhi Leonard is just slowly plugging away at another, you know, 30-point-plus series where he just totally dominates and does it and moves his team on to the next round.
And unlike Luka, who had a bad game last night, I mean, you know, listen, he didn't have a lot of help, and Porzingis isn't in the game, but Kawhi is so consistent on both sides of the floor. So you like the Clippers to go all the way, Coach. Before you get out of here, LeBron James and AD are doing their thing right now against a team that does not play defense. But KCP and Danny Green are hitting shots. But do you think the Lakers have enough shooting to go all the way?
I do. I think they have enough. Because it's not like they need an overwhelming amount because those other two guys are so damn good. Mm-hmm. But I do think they have enough shooting, and I think they have guys that's proven that they can shoot the ball, you know. And some of those guys in there are streaky. Like you got a J.R. Smith, who we know can get it going and really rack up some threes. Deion Waiters is a guy who can really get it going and rack up some threes. But you got some guys that can flat-out shoot, and Danny Green and KCP. There that consistently knock down threes. You know, Kuzma's not a stiff from three. Mm-hmm. I think I really believe this. The pickup of Morris,
I think
it's gonna be really impactful for them as they move through the playoffs and having they haven't done it yet, but they can play him at the five mm-hmm. and put a really dynamic space group out on the floor. That really opens up the floor for LeBron. And they can play Davis and Morris together where they got guys that can make shots. So
that's a really interesting thought, Coach. That's an interesting thought because Dwight and JaVale have been playing great this year. It turns out they were the best versions of what the Lakers could have hoped. But but when AD and LeBron are your two best players, it's not that they shoot poorly, but they're not pure shooters. You really could – if your best shooters are streaky, as Danny Green has been, you really need some more floor spacing, and Morris can give them that. It's a great point. Coach
– absolutely.
I appreciate you shirking your family responsibilities for this show. I think it's correct. I think any kids who are listening or watching this show, I know that you know it's probably going to be a lot of online school in the fall, and I urge you to have a separate device set up so you don't pay attention to school, but rather this show and this simulcast and everybody basically went instead of working and doing what you're supposed to do or paying attention to your family, you should be watching and listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Coach Fizdale,
absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen. Coach, a lot of coaching vacancies all of a sudden. Are you, before I let you go, are you interested? I know I asked you this on First Take, but I'm asking you now. Are you interested in any of these positions?
I think it's more about who's interested in me. I don't know if I have the luxury to be decisive or picky, but I just love coaching, Max, you know, at the end of the day. And you know, it's been tough sitting here watching everything from the outside of the bubble, but you know, when my time is right, I think that the right situation comes up, and I'll attack it. And, you know, hopefully you see me in that seat again soon.
You got to love coaching when you can make money in media as you can because you have a media-friendly personality. And it's so much less work than coaching. You really got to be a basketball junkie to be able to make a living in media and go, nah, you know what, I'd rather coach and deal with all this nonsense.
Totally insane.
The great Coach Fizdale, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a million, Coach. Really appreciate it. That's it. Okay. I have to get better at saying goodbye to people, Raj. I can't take these shows where like, okay, bye, great, okay, bye, and they go back and forth 16 times, and yet I'm doing it now.
Yeah.
Some may have left the Nuggets for dead, like Raj Grobes. But can they still win the series? With help from the Home Depot, you can take on fall projects without ever leaving your own backyard. Use their mobile app to search, shop, and more. Flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. You won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Get ready for fall with help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Max Kellerman Show.
down the stretch, Jamal embraces a moment. He's not afraid of it. Some people run away from those moments. He looks for them.
Murray from 17 knocked it home. That's 40 for Jamal Murray. Wow, this dude is insane.
The young man is growing up and turning into a superstar on the biggest stage, and couldn't be more proud of him.
It's not just me putting the ball in the hoop. No, it's a collective effort for us to get better, and all we got to look forward to is game six.
Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. I have a hard time saying my own name, Max Kellerman. The Max Kellerman Show. I don't know. It's hard. It's like when I do those ZipRecruiter reads. By the time I say my own name in ZipRecruiter, it's too many R's.
Yeah, you got to roll the... That's a little something we're testing out for later. But yes, the crowd likes that.
Ah, so Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell. Look, maybe this is hyperbolic, but it expresses the way I feel about it right now. And I said it today on First Take. That is the only real rivalry in the NBA. Like, Magic and Bird basically came into the league together. And also, they linked up in college. I'm not saying this is Magic and Bird, but they came into the league together. They basically did the same things for their teams. Berg wasn't a point guard, but he got his team into their offense a lot. And they were both the best players on their teams. Even though Kareem won the MVP that year, it became Magic's team. They played each other in the finals a bunch of times, and they elevated each other's games. And since then, like, we've been waiting for some rivalries. Vince Carter was on that segment that we did on First Take today and said, it reminds me of him and AI in the playoffs. And it's true. We don't know if Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell, how many more times they'll meet in the playoffs, what their teams wind up doing, all that stuff. And I thought that was a really good comparison. Vince and AI at that moment in time did the same sort of thing. They were going back and forth. But when I think about the rivalries we were expecting, it didn't quite turn out that Vince or McGrady were on the kind of teams that could challenge Kobe's teams or stayed healthy in Tracy McGrady's case long enough to be that kind of rival. It turned out like, you know, Tim Duncan and who? Kobe, but they don't play the same position or do the same thing for their teams. Duncan and Shaq for a while, sure. When I think of rivalries, though, I think about two ball-handling guys, you know? Like, not bigs, but the guys who really do the same sort of thing for their teams and kind of control the offense. And in this case, like, you know, Kobe and LeBron never met in the playoffs. By the time LeBron's teams were good, Kobe's weren't anymore. Maybe it's LeBron and Kawhi now. They've met in the finals. But Kawhi was a baby then. He won finals MVP for the defense he played on LeBron, but he was still just in his infancy in the NBA, really. He wasn't asked to really carry the team on offense and defense yet. And by the time that happened, they haven't met up. And we think they might, like, they're rivals now, right, in L.A.? But what if they don't link up in these playoffs? We think they're going to. We hope they're going to. But let me tell you who's now. Jamal Murray may have just turned 22. They're around the same age. They came into the league around the same time. They do more or less the same thing for their teams. They have similar roles on their teams, and their teams are more or less evenly matched. They are linking up in the playoffs now, and they continue. They're putting up absurd numbers in incredible performances and are answering each other. They're making each other better. I got this. Oh, you want to top that? Now I'm going to top you again. They're taking the challenge. They're rising to the challenge. The eye of the tiger, Raj, rising up to the challenge of our rivals. They are. These two guys have the eye of the tiger. I mean, look at what's... Jamal Murray, after Donovan Mitchell, I thought, created some separation. 57 in the loss and then 50-something in a win. Jamal Murray has now scored 93 points without a turnover in consecutive games. Over two games, you drop 92, 93 points, don't turn the ball over, and will your team back into a series? This is the real rivalry in the NBA right now. You can throw a hitter, won't even make it on a national show anymore. How baseball has fallen. No Doubt is next. Max Kellerman Show. Ah, ZipRecruiter time, huh? I was just talking about ZipRecruiter. If, see what I mean? ZipRecruiter. I have to say it carefully. If you're a business owner, you have a lot on your plate right now. But ZipRecruiter makes your hiring process easier. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Mishkowitz, Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee. So he went to ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny, posted his job, and found the best person for the role in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the site, through the site, sorry, within the first day. Think about that. 4 out of 5 within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. See how Greeny just got the credit for that? Now I got to get credit. When you do the ZipRecruiter thing, you got to put in Kellerman, K-E-L-L-E-R-M-A-N. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. ZipRecruiter. The, and then I'm supposed to say something else that Raj doesn't have in the copy. Thanks a lot. We'll see you in a minute. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj, what we got?
What is the world coming to, Max? I'm talking about last night, the White Sox, Lucas Giolito throws a no-hitter, and it's not even on the rundown.
Yeah, throws a no-hitter, struck out a bunch of guys, didn't throw a lot of pitches doing it. It does not make a national show. I mean, the only way it makes a national show is to talk about the fact that it doesn't make a national show to show how far baseball has fallen. Baseball is my favorite team sport. I never, unlike soccer fans, try to convince people it's better than basketball or football because it's an inferior product, like soccer is. It's been replaced in the popular culture by superior products. But I grew up with it, so I love it. It is an intensely local sport at this point. You love the local team if you follow baseball. You don't care much. Like, if you're a Yankees fan, which I am, I don't care what the Padres are up to, really. Like, who cares? The Brewers.
They're hitting grand slams, man. They're hitting grand slams.
Yeah, but if you're in New York, you're a Giants or a Jets fan, you do follow the Los Angeles Chargers or you know, the Green Bay Packers. It's a national sport. Basketball and football are national sports. Baseball is a local one. What else we got?
All right, take a listen to our man Warren Sharp. He hit us with this yesterday.
I think he's good, yes. Is he really good? I would be leery of saying that. Is he number two? No. No question in my mind. Russell Wilson is there. Russell Wilson is one of the best guys in the league. And then there are some other up-and-coming guys that just have a little bit more gas in the tank than I believe Aaron Rodgers has. I also don't think that, you know, maybe if they had taken the time to surround him with more receiving weapons, they really haven't done that at all in Green Bay, so we're not seeing that there. If they had taken the time to do that over the last couple of years, maybe we wouldn't have seen such a drop-off. Everybody wants to just pin it on Aaron Rodgers, but you've got play callers and you also have talent around him that are helping aid the fact that he is getting less and less efficient. He needs a bounce-back season this year, in my opinion. I think that he's capable of doing that in year two of LaFleur's offense, but I don't think that he's any longer in the discussion of, you know, being up in the top 1 to 2 QBs in the NFL.
All right, let me hit you with this, man. Aaron Rodgers is no longer in the top QB tier of the NFL.
Nah, son. And I disagree with Warren Sharp here. Warren Sharp knows a lot about football, but I disagree with him here. I think Aaron Rodgers is, whether or not I could prove he's the second best player in the league, he's my second pick right after Mahomes, or significantly after Mahomes, because Mahomes is like a souped-up Rodgers in his prime. Aaron Rodgers last year, in the first year of an offense, throwing to zero, in his whole career, he's thrown like one pass to a first-round pick, right? Throwing to no first-round picks. In his first year in a new offense, went 13-3. By the way, he didn't have Tyler Lockett or DJ Metcalf on his team. And in fact, he met Russell Wilson in the playoffs and the Packers won this year. And that's with Rodgers. Like, I just think Rodgers is a more talented player than Wilson. And even though Russell Wilson fans probably have a better argument than Aaron Rodgers fans do right now, I'm a fan of both and neither. Like, I'm a Giants fan. I would, if I had to pick right of the non-Mahomes player, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl right now, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. What else okay. Yep. All right. I was going to hit you with, and this is real talk, Aaron Judge is going to last the rest of the season, but I just read something. He's out for today's game with a calf injury, so we'll skip over that. How about this one? Giannis wins the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year. Giannis is your true NBA Defensive Player of the Year.
Nah, son. My Defensive Player of the Year is Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons in the regular season was like, he was defending. He was like a taller, longer Kawhi Leonard. He was defending every position at a Defensive Player of the Year level. You just defend five positions like that? Switch on anyone you want? Pick a guy up anywhere on the floor? The guy is all-world defense, and I thought this year deserved it.
All right. Let's see what the people say, man. Let's hit the phones.
Ah. Let's see. David from Texas. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, hey, I want to talk a little bit about James Harden. First of all, you know, you guys talk about him all the time on First Take, and his game is aesthetically ugly as it comes. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, he's got two moves. He guns from the top of the key for a three-pointer, or he drives the lane, and then he flops around and he gets a foul. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is – I don't understand why, you know – I guess Stephen A. is a big fan of James Harden. I just don't get it.
Because he's unstoppable offensively until it matters most so far in his career. But I know what people don't like about Harden. I know what you mean. There's a difference. Like, players who walk a lot. The reason the walk rule was instituted was so pitchers would be forced to throw strikes to hitters so we could see hitting. We want to see that. But it's trying to penalize you trying to incentivize you to throw strikes. But then that rule gets manipulated for reasons that the rule wasn't intended, and players now start to draw walks, which is not the intention of the rule. Same thing with fouls. Fouls are to get a clean game, but now offensive players do things to manipulate that rule to draw fouls. Harden does that. No, his game isn't pretty, but he is a great one-on-one player. He's also a great team player. And he's become a much better defensive player. And he has a chance this postseason to get that monkey off his back and to become a champion, to not be a choker. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.